hour number two of the starting lineup. Will West, Eric Kane, Chandler Emerson here with you. Tyler Ivins with a well-deserved day off. 656-9900 is your phone number. We teased it a couple segments ago. Okay, according to Stephen Godfrey of Banner Society, Colorado State, with help from Urban Meyer, of all people, met with five candidates before they settled on Steve Addazio as their new head coach. Dave Aranda, which I think would have been an incredible hire, Tony Alford, Steve Addazio, Kevin Wilson, Butch Jones. Now, according to the Coloradoan, which I didn't even know was a thing, Butch Jones did not meet certain criteria because of he was implicated in the Title IX lawsuit against Tennessee when he was coaching there, and because of the way that Butch Jones allegedly handled situations involving the A.J. Johnson case. So he was kind of removed from consideration, according to the reporter there, who his name is Kelly Lyle, which, you know, interesting, his name's Lyle. But here's the thing. I saw a lot of Tennessee fans upset, and because A.J. Johnson was found not guilty in a court of law by a jury of his peers. And I'm not saying he should have. And I think that people are missing this just a little bit, Kaner, on why Butch Jones was removed from consideration because this. It doesn't have anything. Now, Butch Jones didn't deny any wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. But with what happened with Tennessee, there's a difference between you believe somebody helped to cover up a sexual assault case and you believe that someone violated Title IX. Those are two separate things altogether. And I do believe anybody, let's be very real, right? We don't know what happened with the Greg Schiano thing with Penn State, but it was enough that Tennessee fans said, don't want any part of it, right? Yep. If his name's implicated and involved in it, I don't want anything to do with him. The Colorado State, they looked at it and said, Butch Jones' name was involved in a Title IX lawsuit. And I will say this, I spoke to probably the six people who I would say are considered the experts in the field when it comes to Title IX law. And all of them told me, not whether the players did this or not. It's not about guilt or innocence of the players. It's about whether Title IX was violated as far as the school hearings were concerned and school investigations were concerned into Title IX, that Tennessee did violate Title IX, according to their opinion. And again, and that was 100% of them that said that at the time. So I felt very confident at the time saying, and comfortable at the time saying, I have no idea whether any of these guys did this whatsoever. I was 100% confident in saying that Tennessee violated Title IX, according to the opinion of most legal experts in this field.
Yeah.
And so I think that we have to look at, it's not that he covered up A.J. Johnson doing this or something like that, which is what a lot of people are making this being, because A.J. Johnson was found innocent in a court of law, or not guilty in a court of law. But it's about violating Title IX, which is, that's what the University of Tennessee was in trouble for. It wasn't about players with sexual assault. It was about Title IX being violated. And I do think almost everybody in the world of college athletics believes, and I think Tennessee did as well, that the way that they handled the certain type of hearing that they had violated Title IX. Butch Jones is part of that. If that was enough for Colorado State, that they didn't want any part of Butch Jones, according to Kelly Lyle.
And that's what I was thinking when I heard about this, was with the whole Greg Schiano thing. You know, it was enough to where, you know, a lot of fan bases, Tennessee, you know, primarily are saying, well, no, we don't want him, because he was even mentioned around in what went down. You know, his name was even thrown around there and all that stuff. And so that's kind of the same thing with Butch Jones here. So it's kind of the same situation in terms of, well, Butch Jones is very much involved in what went down here. He was, you know, implicated into the Title IX, and he was the head coach of the university. And so, in my opinion, and again, you know, we don't know what happened. A.J. Johnson was found not guilty in a court of law.
And there were, five other cases, not including A.J. Johnson's, that were involved in this
right? A couple other. Yeah. And so, you know, at least for A.J. Johnson's case, or Alexander Johnson, now he's gone on. He's you know, trying to turn
productive
his life around.
Society. Yeah.
And he's, you know, having a good stay in the National Football League and trying to turn things around. So good for him. And, you know, but, you know, we don't ever know what happened or what didn't happen. But the point being, you know, in my opinion, you know, Colorado State has an agenda that Colorado State wants to follow. And if Butch Jones, because of this, doesn't meet that criteria, then that's their choice. They can move on. So to me, I don't have a problem with it. That's just my opinion. I know a lot of people might. But to me, it's, you know, hey, if you don't want someone that's been crossed up in all that mess, if you just don't want to, you know, have the face of your program be led by someone that has been crossed up in that mess, then I totally get it.
All right. So I also want to say this, though. There's a reason you shouldn't want to hire Butch Jones if you're a university that wants to win football games.
Because he doesn't develop players.
Well, it's because he's a read option coach. And frankly, he was a second tier read option coach. He should have never had the Tennessee job to begin with. That was stupid. He took the number one program in his conference and made it the number three program in his conference, right? That's not that that's not an upward trajectory. That's literally the opposite of that. Now, came here and he did a better job than I think a lot of people. He did a better job recruiting than I thought he could do. The overall, I mean, and everybody like patted me on the back and said, because when Butch got hired, I said, I don't know, 8-4, 9-3. That's the ceiling. And then whenever he tries to adjust his offense, that'll determine whether he makes it in the SEC or not, because you're not going to be able to run that read for very long in the Southeastern Conference. Guys are going to figure you out.
Yeah.
And that happened. And then everybody's like, wow, you, dude, he wasn't hard. I just watch a lot of Cincinnati football because I have no life. So like the thing with Butch Jones, this Rich Rodriguez was the guy he learned this from and was an upper tier. Think about how great he was with West Virginia. He goes and gets the Arizona job, and he could have a talent like Khalil Tate. Nothing. Yeah. Look at Kevin Sumlin. He gets to Texas A&M, and people figure out the read, and he's done. Right? Chip Kelly right now, it's not looking that great either.
It's not hard to defend. All you got to do is stay to your, you know, responsibilities on defense. You know, the end has dive, or the outside linebacker has quarterback. It's not that difficult. Yeah,
no, and that's so the key. And that's absolutely key, is you either a safety or an outside linebacker has the quarterback contained, and the end crashes down for the dive every single time.
Yeah.
But it took 3, 4, 5 years for people to figure that out, right? Mm-hmm. But then we got to the point where I'm watching every high school team in East Tennessee knows how to defend it, and I'm like, well, this is not going to last very long.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, football goes in waves too. And so there wasn't a whole lot of option, you know, back when I was growing up. But then, you know, in my high school and my college, and then now you see option everywhere, whether it be a read option, an RPO, you know, that type of stuff right there. That's just so relevant nowadays. And so, you're right. You're seeing high school teams all across Knoxville.
Nobody runs a read anymore. Yeah. And the only team that still runs the read to some extent is you'll see some read from Oak Ridge. But they have a speed option combo that goes with it, and usually they have an athletic enough quarterback that can get around the edge.
And a lot of times it's not an actual read.
You're right. And there's a lot of times, let's be very real, most of the time in high school football when you're watching somebody run the read option, the quarterback's just guessing. He's not actually reading anything.
Here's the thing, I ran the Veer in college, and I had a quarterback my last 3 years that was young and very good. But the first 2 years he started, he wasn't reading anything. That last year when he was really good, oh yeah, he was reading it. But no, they called it straight give, take, pitch, whatever it was.
It looked smart defense. So coordinators started blitzing the mesh point, blitz it from the outside. Quarterback didn't have a chance to be able to beat your outside linebacker to the outside there, and that's what you were hoping for. Was you had an athletic enough guy in Khalil Tate or somebody that could, or Pat White, they can just outrun the outside linebacker on that outside, and so then people just started blitzing the mesh point and blow the whole thing up. And the first guy I ever saw do that was David Metzke at Webb. That's the first time I ever saw somebody do that. I'm like, wow, more people should do this. And then I remember hearing when it was happening in the NFL, Bill Cowher say, when they asked him, what would you do with this read option? He said, I'd blitz it. So that's the first thing that I would do, is I'd make them make a quicker decision than they want to.
Yep.
I crash the defensive end every time.
And it's like playing the game at 8:05. It's, you know, when you're on that clock, it's like,
Yeah. In the heat of the moment. Yeah. If you blitz it, you're right. You're speeding up the thought process a little bit. And then we saw this game that happened with the Carolina Panthers and the San Francisco 49ers when Kaepernick was with the 49ers. And the Carolina Panthers did exactly what you're talking about. Outside linebacker plays contain, defensive end crashes.
Yep.
And over and over and over and over, and they just did that discipline. And after that happened, within half a year, then into the next season, nobody could run the read option anymore. It was shut down. And that's why Butch Jones is, look at the coaches that were read guys, right? They are either out of the game or they evolved. But the guy who evolved was Urban. Urban Meyer evolved, and he did it a couple of years ahead of time because he saw this is going to get figured out. One of the things with the RPO that I've always mentioned, that we're running all this RPO right now. That's great. They're going to figure out this RPO, because defenses always evolve. And NFL people have told me for 2 years now, we're going to figure out this RPO. Towards the end of this season, we're seeing it a little bit more, and you have to add another wrinkle and another wrinkle and another wrinkle. I've actually asked Joe Moorhead about it with the RPO, because he was a guy that ran this, you know what I mean, at the FCS level, brought it to Penn State, now is at Mississippi State. And I asked, is there always another wrinkle that you can throw in there? And he's like, yeah, I think there is. But teams have been trying to catch up to it, and so we just constantly have to keep adding new wrinkles.
And that's what separates coaches from good coaches. You continue to adapt, you continue to you know, throw in new wrinkles, and then you go back and then you start it over again. I mean, yeah, the option has been in football for, you know, years and years and years and years. The Wildcat was in football prior to Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams running it for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, you know, it goes away, it comes back, but you continue to adapt, and that's why Urban Meyer is one of the greatest coaches. Hate him, but he's one of the greatest coaches. Can't stand him. One of the greatest coaches.
And you know what? And he might be the best college football analyst right now, too.
Yeah, I text you that one. The first time I watched Big Noon, I'm like, dude, Urban is killing it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right with the game day thing. Like, give me a big noon kickoff. Urban is absolutely, because you're walking through it. He's dissecting. I mean, you've got Heisman Trophy winners everywhere.
The videos he did for Big Ten Network were incredible as well. Like, I just, if you actually like football, I mean, I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Like you said, not a fan. But, man, that guy's good at what he does.
Yeah.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. It started with Lane Kiffin, that we saw two more coaching retreads get college football coaching jobs yesterday. We break it down next. Starting Lineup, Sports Radio, WNML. It's the Starting Lineup. Will West, Eric Kane, Chandler Emerson here with you. And this is why we love the old social mediums. The Twitter machine, if you will, at Ogeron style. JT... user at Jabberooski says, your bowl game name is the last restaurant you went to, last item you purchased, plus bowl. Chandler Emerson, we're going to start with you. Let's go around the room. Last restaurant you went to was?
Cookout.
Cookout.
A restaurant?
What's the last thing you purchased? Just in life. It doesn't have to be a cookout.
Game tickets.
Okay. So, I don't know, you were at the Cookout Ticket Bowl, is what Chandler Emerson, that is his awful bowl game.
Sorry about that.
Eric Kane.
It's kind of gross, but I purchased an apple this morning from a gas station.
So, where's the last restaurant you ate at?
Is that weird? Wild Wing Cafe.
Okay, so the Wild Wing Cafe Apple Bowl. Not bad.
Sounds about on par.
And I went to the Paro Smoothie Bowl. It's where I am handling business, because after leg day last night, we went and got a smoothie.
Nice.
So, yes, shout out to the chocolate shredder. Very nice. Get right amount of carbs, right amount of protein.
Yeah.
Just, you know, not too many sugars, still some fiber in there. So your net carbs, what we're worried about there after the leg day. So feeling pretty good about that.
That's a fun game to play right there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real fun game to play.
That's one of my favorite ones, because there's the, what's your professional wrestling name? There's been a whole lot of those that have happened over the years.
A whole
the bowl
lot
game
of,
names. Yeah. That one's pretty strong.
Pretty believable.
All right. So Steve Addazio hired as the coach of Colorado State yesterday. Willie Taggart hired by the coach as the coach at FAU yesterday. Is it just me, or are we seeing a lot of retreads during this coaching cycle that we're currently seeing in the world of college football? I don't mind when guys step down from power conference, especially if they're a good coach or we're in a tough situation.
Yeah.
I don't mind seeing that. Like, we see a guy, Taggart going to FAU is a good hire.
I think so too.
Great in South Florida. I mean, great. And also he can come in if you have any, maybe a culture issue needs to be cleaned up because Lang was there. You can have Willie Taggart come in and he will clean that thing up and guys will go to class and stuff like that. I don't blame what happened at Florida State on Willie Taggart whatsoever. He's a good football coach. I don't know if he's an elite football coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he could recruit well enough or frankly cheat enough to win at a high enough level at the world of college football. But if you send him somewhere where he can just go be the ball coach for the next 5 or 10 years,
yeah,
Willie Taggart's a very good guy to do that. If you remember the issues that they had at Florida State, that Jimbo Fisher left them. One, it's on Jimbo Fisher that they had the problems. You had a quarterback that was accused of selling copious amounts of drugs. That was your starting quarterback at Florida State. You recruited 6 offensive linemen in 4 years, I believe is what it was, at Florida State, and Taggart got there.
So, learning from Derek Dooley?
Yeah, I mean, so he just didn't recruit enough linemen, so you didn't have the linemen. You had a quarterback that thought he can do whatever he wanted to. You had 2 years at Florida State where it was just criminal behavior, players hitting women, and it'd be on video camera, and local authorities working actively with the university to cover things up. Jimbo had a guy, according to 28 different media outlets, Jimbo had a guy who was an associate athletics director who was a convicted cocaine dealer that was just a fixer around the city of Tallahassee and the surrounding area, the panhandle there. They would just fix the off-the-field issues that they work with the police department to fix whatever off-the-field issues that you might have there. You had abject criminal behavior. Guys weren't going to class. Willie Taggart came in, cleaned that thing up, and now they're moving on to Mike Norvell. I understand if you're Florida State why, like, Taggart was not going to be the answer. Yeah. He had to come in and be the hammer that broke some things up. And usually once somebody's the hammer that comes in and fixes some things, that is not the person that takes you. He was Moses. He was not Joshua. He could take you to the edge or at least clean the thing up and get you out of Egypt. It. But he could not take you into the promised land. If we want to use a type of biblical, analogy there. Steve Addazio, Colorado State. Does that work out?
I mean, nothing leads me to believe that it will. I mean, this is a guy that was, he said at 500 at Boston College, 44-44, and that was in 7 years. He was 1-3 in bowl games.
It was also so terrible to watch. Yeah, like it was not a fun
brand of football at all. So now you're going to Colorado State. I mean, nothing is leading me to believe that Steve Adazio is going to get it done at Colorado State. However, as we just talked about in the prior segment with, you know, what Colorado State is looking for, I mean, you always want a good dude. You don't want to go and hire a jerk. I know Ole Miss just hired Lane Kiffin, but you don't want to go hire just a bad person. So, I mean, Steve Adazio, obviously a good guy.
I would say, like, Lane's not a jerk or a bad person. Lane's just had some flaws at places.
Yeah.
And for Lane, it will be on Lane whether Lane is successful or not, because he's an incredible football mind with tons of relationships that can recruit. See, but has he grown up is going to be the
question.
That's
the one, and obviously it's the biggest one. It's the most popular name. It's the biggest
Lane
school.
Who's like, put a bullseye on his back how many times?
That's the one where I am so intrigued by, because if you are walking in, I mean, you're walking into fire here, because you've got LSU, Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, Mississippi. I mean, you're playing in the toughest division right now. You're a good recruiter. You're a great offensive line. Lane is already assembling a pretty good staff. His father's going to be his defensive analyst yet again. He's going to be surrounded by good people. If he can keep his nose clean, don't make the same mistakes that he has in the years past. I mean, he's going to create a good, in terms of on-the-field play. I mean, they're going to be fun to watch, but is it going to be good enough? And how long will that Ole Miss leash allow him to go? Because I think it's still going to be tough year two, year three, year four, and then potentially sooner or later, if you can outlast maybe a save in there or you know, an Orgeron until the next wave comes, we'll see. It's just, I think it's a good fit. I think it's going to be fun to watch, but how good, like, is it going to be good enough for Lane, and how long will Ole Miss allow him just to, you know, play second tier in the SEC West?
Hey, like, here's the thing. There's so much sizzle right now with Lane that it makes me wonder how much steak is actually there, right, at the end of the day. That's great. That's great. You put how many ever people in, you're selling discounted beer and stuff like that, and everybody's throwing a big party because Lane got hired. At the end of the day, you got to win football games.
Yeah.
And how many football games can Lane Kiffin win at Ole Miss? And you got to be able to keep your nose clean. And can Lane Kiffin keep his nose clean? It's one thing when you're under the radar at Boca Raton.
Yep.
It's another thing altogether when you're in the SEC and when other coaches are actively looking to take you down. So that's the thing that Lane has always struggled with. And so what is going to happen from here with that? USC still has not recovered from what happened as Lane, with Lane Kiffin as coach. They've not. And so the Sarkisian thing didn't work. And it hasn't worked with Clay Helton. Now, they've not helped themselves with their coaching hires outside of that.
Yeah.
But the problem with Lane is, like, and again, if Ed Ogeron worked out at LSU or has worked out at LSU, you're in the college football playoff, you're undefeated, you just smoked somebody in the SEC championship. Ogeron had to grow up in a different way, because if you knew some of the stuff that happened here with Ogeron and Lane, you would think there's no one should ever give those guys a head coaching job again. It seems as if Ogeron's grown up. Can Lane do the same thing? And I think that's what people are betting on, because he's always been a really, really good offensive mind. I can't help wonder, though, with the school, because it's Ole Miss, I can't help but wonder, I don't even know if they're betting on the fact that he hasn't grown up. I think they want Lane Kiffin that goes and cuts promos and stuff like that, because they've had kind of boring Matt Luke for the last couple of years.
And again, everything Lane does is going to be front lines on whatever publication you look at. I mean, what he's doing, he's assembling his coaching staff by going after some guys that have ties or are currently on the staff at Alabama. I mean, you know who else did that? Jeremy Pruitt. You know who else? Kirby Smart. Everyone does that.
Manny Diaz of Miami.
But the fact that Lane Kiffin's back in the SEC trying to take shots at Saban, he's trying to assemble a staff. That does nothing for me. Also, shameless plug, our friend Chris Lowe over at ESPN, outstanding, like a little ride along with Kiffin on over the weekend on Sunday, and, you know, going from Florida up to, you know, Oxford and that whole situation there. It's an outstanding article. I encourage you to read it.
That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. 5 burning questions coming up on the other side. Starting lineup on the Sports Animal. No, you were talking with Landon Dunn about wrestling in the hallway.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, big Wednesday Night Wrestling guy, Eric Kane, across the desk from me here. Chandler Emerson here as well.
It's wrestling.
Wrestling.
It's wrestling.
Wrestling.
Come on.
Not wrestling. Wrestling.
Don't disrespect those wrestling guys like that.
I did disrespect the sport. I did that. My apologies to everyone out there. 656-9900, your phone number. Time now for 5 burning questions.
Head to head. Toe to toe. Mono a mono. It's time for Five Bernie Questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections, saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
Five burning questions in the world of sports. Chandler Emerson scores the argument. What do you have for us, Chandler?
Which non-playoff or New Year's Six bowl game is most compelling?
I mean, boy, when you take away the playoff and the New Year's Six, there's some slim pickings there. I mean, maybe the Belt Bowl with Virginia Tech against Kentucky. I love watching Lynn Bowden Jr. play. He's going to declare what he's going to play in that game. What about the Academy Sports Outdoor Texas Bowl? Little Oklahoma State, little Texas A&M. I mean, honestly, outside of those two things, there's not much going on here.
I love Boise State against Washington in the Las Vegas Bowl. I love it. I think it's going to be a very nice game. Chris Peterson's final game as coach is going to go against his former team. That's a very nice game.
That's a nice story.
So the Las Vegas Bowl, for me, is the one that I will go with. But, man, that's bad when that's what we have to go with all the way here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yep.
True or false, Joe Burrow will be a bust in the NFL.
He is the most likable dude. That's true, though. I'm sorry. I think he is what he's been the rest of his entire college football career, not what he was this year. I think that was a product of the system, and he played the system as well as you possibly can. I hate to say this, and I hope I am dead wrong on this, because I like Burrow a lot, but I just can't see him being a legitimate franchise starting quarterback.
The thing with me and Joe Burrow is you can be a system guy and everything. You can have, you know, a year of the ages, but you're completing passes at nearly 80%. 78% is where he's completing passes right now. I think that will translate at least enough. And, I mean, is he going to light it up throwing 40-plus touchdowns, 48-6 is his ratio right now in college football? Absolutely not. But I'm gonna be positive this morning. I'm going to say false. I don't think Joe Burrow will be a bust.
Are we going to watch, skip, or rent Jumanji, The Next Level, opening in theaters this week?
You know, for me, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm going to skip it. It doesn't do a whole lot for me. This fall, I've been so busy on the weekends to where I haven't watched much movies anyway. So, Jumanji, I'm going to skip this one.
This is a watch. This is absolutely a watch. Now, it's not run to the theaters because we know what comes out next week, right?
Yeah.
Star Wars comes out next week. But in a couple
plans
weeks,
next Friday, though,
when you got nothing going on, it's some jabronis got something going on, doesn't
he? Jeez, yeah.
This is a 3-4 weeks into what's been open at the box office. You got nothing going on a Tuesday. You swing by the movie theater and you were looking for something to do. You go watch this movie. That's where the first Jumanji was, and it was a lot of fun. This one will be much of the same, just The Rock and the rest of that cast eating up scenery.
Yeah, I was about to ask. It's The Rock, right?
Yeah, it's The Rock. Yeah. It's Kevin Hart. It's Jack Black.
Okay.
And it's the girl who plays, who's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yesterday was National App Day. What's currently your favorite app on your phone?
Okay, I'm a huge fan of this. And if you don't have this app, you need to get this app. It is called Recorder. It's by Google. If you haven't seen this, it can record anything and share it real time. And you can edit it within the app. And it actually does a really good job. It also live transcribes anything that you record.
Ooh, need that.
Yes. So if you are a reporter, if you are a student, if you're somebody who needs to make sure, man, I don't know. Maybe
is it
you're
free?
It is absolutely free.
Big time.
Recorder by Google is just magnificent.
You know, back in the day, I'd say GroupMe. God, I love me some GroupMe in there, some great legendary chats. But I'm a Twitter guy. I know people, they say what you want about Twitter. It can be toxic. It can be horrible. But I love me some Twitter.com. Sign me up every time. Great laughs, great source of information for me. I love Twitter too
much. I think
much.
Eric's also a Reddit guy. He just doesn't want to admit it.
Do you have a problem with Colorado State holding the AJ Johnson case against Butch Jones?
Listen, for me, no, I don't. And that's not to take a shot at Butch Jones. That's not to take a shot at Tennessee whatsoever. It's just, you know, we discussed that Colorado State has a line of some boxes it wants checked off when it regards to its next head coach, integrity being one of them. If the leadership at Colorado State believes that Butch Jones doesn't have that simply because he was tied into this whole mess, then, hey, that's your thing. That's your program. I have no issue with it.
And I don't have a problem either because, again, it's not about A.J. Johnson or Alexander Johnson. It's about Butch Jones' handling of the allegations that were there at the time.
Yep.
You still cannot violate Title IX. And I don't know that Butch Jones violated Title IX. I do believe that. Most experts in the field believe the university did, and the university did pay out because of it. But he clearly didn't handle it the right way himself because he apologized about it.
Tyler's not here today, man.
Yeah, sorry, Ken. I couldn't find any good music for you that you approved of, so I went with Tyler's.
All right.
But it is for Eric Kane.
You know, we said that Tyler definitely wouldn't win Five Burning Questions yesterday, but his music does live on. So.
Actually, Kaner's music is Holla Back Girl by Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, I was either going to play what is it, Every Hour by Kanye West with the Sunday Service Choir, but
there you go.
Kane didn't appreciate that.
Wow.
He's getting the win from the Twitter app mention.
I thought you were a church going individual.
I am a church going individual.
That's,
I'm trying to get turnt here on a Thursday morning.
On a Thursday morning, that is five burning questions brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. Anything to do with fire suppression systems, they are the ones to call at Life Safety Inspections. Folks, they can sell service, installations, they're even licensed inspectors at Life Safety Inspections. Give Chip Dooley and the folks a call. Check them out online, lifelsitn.com for Life Safety Inspections. Final segment, hour number two, coming up on the other side. It is the Starting Lineup, Sports Radio WNML. Final segment, hour number two of Starting Lineup. Will West, Eric Kane, Chandler Emerson here with you.
Can I go off script here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so you know, you've been out first part of the week, getting some of those vacation days in. Hope you enjoyed them.
Yep.
You know, some madness went down Sunday afternoon. Music City Bowl. Oh, wait a minute. We're going to the Tex Slayer Gator Bowl. When all the dust settled, what did you think about Tennessee's draw for bowl season?
So here's the big thing I took away from that. That was the most. Now, I have heard some things behind the scenes that boosters are the driving factor behind this, very specifically two large boosters. But that was the most Doug Dickey thing I've ever seen Philip Fulmer do. And it was. It was a Coach Dickey move. And that's why you kept Coach Dickey as the AD, because Coach Dickey would go in there and throw elbows and stuff like that and kind of get what he wanted a little bit.
Yeah.
And I do believe I know people are upset with what he said. Everything Matt Jones said was accurate, and I'm not a Matt Jones fan. Like, I don't like Homer Radio. What do I, you know, somebody who's more emotional than they are analytical about what they're looking at in sports.
Can't stand it.
I don't need any part of that. I just don't see the benefit, right? It's like political propaganda. Why would I want to listen to that? To me, it's sports propaganda for your team, and if that's what you want, cool, it's just not my thing. But he was right. There was a deal in place for Tennessee to go to the Music City Bowl. And Tennessee then, after the fact, said, no, thank you. We want to go to the Gator Bowl now. And a lot of that was a couple of boosters specifically that were the driving factor behind that. And now Tennessee's in the Gator Bowl. A lot of ADs that Tennessee has had. Dave Hart would not be able to get that done.
Yeah.
I don't believe Mike Hamilton or John Curry would have been willing to go just buck the conference and make everybody start over when people had already booked hotels and bought tickets and things like that. And there was already a deal in place. So I don't think that they would have been willing to do the thing that Coach Fulmer did. But that's another reason why you have Coach Fulmer. One, he's very, very good at keeping your boosters at bay. And while Tennessee has great boosters when it comes to cutting a check and things like that, you have a lot of guys who are incredible businessmen, specifically two or three guys that are incredible businessmen that just don't watch a lot of college football these days, but think that they still know the sport because they played it. And I get that, but they don't have enough information to be able to make quality decisions. Again, Kyle Whittingham or Derek Dooley over Kyle Whittingham. We don't want Dan Mullen. Those types of things that they've had from people. And I'm not just saying this to be nice. I mean, they are literally brilliant businessmen. But so keeping them at bay is the number one thing that you want from one of the biggest things you want from an athletics director, because that's been the problem for Tennessee over the years, the last decade or so. Fulmer can keep them at bay. One. Two, though, Philip Fulmer went and just Doug Dickey'd this thing and said, nope, we ain't doing this. This is what we're doing. And he was able to get his way.
I mean, when it comes down to it, you have the Music City Bowl, you have the Tex Slayer Gator Bowl. I mean, there's not, you know, not one is far more superior than the other. But I think Tennessee, the fan base, I just think Tennessee wanted to be in Florida. Now, do I think
the fan base and boosters wanted to be in Florida? Yeah. I think Tennessee was willing to do the job and to do the best thing, because what Jones said is right. If Tennessee versus Louisville and Nashville sells out, Mississippi State, Virginia Tech, it is what it is, the Belk Bowl.
Yeah.
And then the Tex Slayer Bowl has a good chance of selling out with Indiana versus Kentucky because of the rivalry there between those two teams.
Yeah.
And so you had a good chance of selling. You would have sold more tickets had it been the way that they'd agreed to begin with. But Tennessee didn't want to allow them to have the bigger bowl game.
And the president of the Tex Slayer Gator Bowl came out during the media teleconference on Sunday night and said, Coach Fulmer, you know, athletics director Phil Fulmer, Coach Fulmer knows that Tennessee was our number one choice.
Yeah.
And that's obvious.
And they may have wanted them. To, yeah. And they may have wanted that. And then this is the way the SEC set it up. And ESPN specifically wants it set up because they own these bowl games. Most of them lose money. And if you got a chance to sell them out and let these bowls like this make money, you do that. And Tennessee was willing to do it.
Yeah.
After some boosters raised heck. Coach Holmer said, okay, we'll fix this. And he went in and changed it. And that's why Tennessee's in the taxpayer bowls, because Coach Holmer kind of imposed his will.
Tennessee, Indiana, do anything at all for you?
Nothing. No. I mean, I'd rather be in the taxpayer bowl than Nashville.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's about the location. It's about being back in Florida. The biggest thing for me, too, is it's about being the only game in town. Yep. If you want to watch sports big. That night, that's the one you're going you're to watch.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana, a 5-1 team in the Big Ten, all four of its losses came against ranked opponents in that gauntlet. Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Michigan. That's because the Big Ten
East is just loaded.
Had the injury to Penix Jr., but still with Peyton Ramsey. I mean, they scored a lot of points. Yeah. Scored a lot of points, too. So, I mean, this is
well coached football team. They get block tackle well. They do a lot of the little things well. They're not very athletic.
This is not going to be an easy eighth win.
No.
But like what I think a lot of people might have thought. But I still like Tennessee in this game, but it's not going to be easy.
Tennessee can go out of athlete Indiana if they don't mess up.
I believe that.
And so that's... I'll be shocked if Tennessee doesn't win this game by 10 points or more.
We were talking earlier in the show, just briefly real quick, and I know like things can change, how the roster shakeup is. You know, Austin Price said on The Nation Sunday night that Brandon Kennedy had a scope in his knee, so he'll be in question for this bowl game. But what other players would we might not see for Tennessee? I mean, could you see maybe a Juwan Jennings, some of these seniors maybe sitting out to protect draft stock, something like that?
I don't know. I think that, again, for Tennessee, normally I would say protect your draft stock because these bowls literally don't mean a single thing.
Yeah.
Tennessee's guys might actually benefit from having the spotlight on them, and that's something that they could use. So... this is a rare occasion where I would say, look, unless you're really, really concerned about injury, I would go ahead and play.
Yeah.
If you're in that, just because you're the only sports game in town that night.
Yeah.
That's the biggest reason I would do that. Will West, Eric Kane, Chandler Emerson here with us as well. 656-9900 is your phone number. It's time to play the game at 656-9900 on the Sports Animal.